You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner on News Talk 4BC.
And we do it, of course, for Waterfront Properties. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It is absolute waterfront luxury from just $575,000. Make sure you check it out. We'll tell you more about that as the show goes on this morning. Good morning and welcome as we talk real estate Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8. What's on for today? We're going to look at the pros and cons of capital city versus regional investment markets and a couple of advocates for both sides telling us what they think today. Interesting, during the week I read that one in five property transactions are actually currently delayed due to errors. Well, that may all be over and we'll tell you why in just a moment as we continue this push into the internet, whether it's a worry or not. Peter Maloney will join us. He's the Chief Executive of Global X Legal Solutions. He'll tell us what the solution to that is. And our good friend Dr. Andrew Wilson from the Domain Group joins us. There's been a surge in first home buyers, particularly in Queensland. What's behind that? Also, he's now calling it a building boom in Brisbane. We'll see what's behind that as well. And we're going to look into the Redlands. He's going to tell us, Andrew will tell us, his favourite suburb in the Redlands and why. A bit of a move happening there too. We'll catch up with Ian Hoskins-Richards. He's very heavily promoting the fact that you should be investing in regions. We've got a half a dozen books to give away too. Michael Yardney's book, which is called The Rules of Property. It's a great read. We gave away a copy yesterday and boy, the phones went crazy. No wonder. It's a great book, a very good read, Financial Freedom Through Property Investment in This New Financial Era, Understanding What Accomplished Property Investors Do. Michael, of course, has been talking to established property investors for quite a long time and he'll be talking to us later in the show too. An interesting topic today about why the rich are getting richer and that gap between the rich and I don't want to use the word poor, but that's probably the best word I can use, is actually getting wider. And a lot of it's happening through property as well. So we'll give you an opportunity shortly. We've got about a half a dozen copies of Michael's book to give away today in the show, and we're very lucky and we thank him for that too. As I mentioned, we will be looking at the pros and cons of cap city versus regional investment property. It's one of the most debated issues in property investment. It does change as the market changes as well. What's best, whether you should be investing in the city or whether you should be looking at regional investment property. Open Corp is a great company, a very big company doing a lot of work all around Australia, and you'll notice some of their signs up in Brisbane. Cam McLennan is the man behind that, and he comes down very strongly on the side of investing in the city. He joins me. Hi, Cam. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Kev. Yeah, welcome.
You like Southeast Queensland, don't you?
I like Southeast Queensland, yeah. I like Brisbane in particular, and in particular, I'm buying a fair bit in the northern parts of Brisbane.
Which suburbs are you looking at?
In myself, I bought, well, this is probably over the last 12 months, maybe 30 properties through the Warner, Griffin, Mango Hill sort of area.
Oh, okay, so more out on the outer suburbs.
Yeah, I like nice, safe investments, but just keep ticking along, mate, in the long term.
Yeah, well, the Brisbane market is good. Well, so tell me what's behind those strong views on your part. Why are you so enamoured about the city markets?
On capital city markets?
Yeah.
Buying outside capital city markets is, in my view, sort of like trying to fight the laws of physics, to be brutally honest, Kev. I do a fair round of talks out at secondary schools of financial literacy, and one of the things we talk to the kids about is assets and liabilities. Mm. And then we break down an investment property into two different types of assets, and one being the land and one being the building. And one component goes up and one component goes down in value. The land's the only thing that goes up in value. Now, if you buy in regional areas,
yeah,
what's the one thing they've got lots of? They've got lots of land. So what makes prices of land go up? Scarcity. So city has got a scarcity of land. Country has got lots of land. So yeah, once again, it's pretty basic, mate.
Yeah, I suppose that's very much the case when you look at some of the inner city suburbs too, where it's really, really scarce. We're seeing a lot more density, particularly on some of those northern corridor suburbs like around, let's deal with the north side, around Chermside as you head out on the, along Gympie Road there. A lot of high density, a lot of cranes going up.
Yeah, I've got probably putting up about 350 apartments myself in that area, right near the Westfield there. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah, there's I mean, and we've done well. We've sold out all of our stock before we've broken ground on that. But I think we've got a few more left on a couple of the towers there. But no, it's going very well there.
Yeah, that's one street back from Gympie Road, I think, isn't it? That's a particular site. Yeah.
Thomas, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and there is quite a lot of development happening in that area. Pleased to hear that you actually sold all that before you even started to come out of the ground, did you?
Yeah, we do manage retail funds. So if I'm looking at putting up a high-rise apartment, I want to de-risk things. What's the biggest risk? The bank. So we make sure we buy the land unencumbered and we get enough pre-sales to cover construction costs before we jump out of the ground, and that de-risks our projects.
Interested to talk to you too about what the banks have done with the regulations from APRA. Are you anticipating that there could be any defaults on finance because of the tightening of the lending?
Look, you will get a small margin of delinquency. I can't see a huge amount of impact. I think APRA, it's definitely a scare campaign that has worked, let's be honest. I mean, it's slowed things down a little bit. But long term, we need housing in Australia. So I think it's one of those things they just need to put the brakes on a little bit, which is what they've done. It's understandable.
Your development in Thomas Street in Chermside, what's the mix there of owner-occupiers to investors?
Oh, at the moment, it'd probably be 50-50, I'd say.
Yeah, so that's quite good. I mean, if you're looking at a development where you've got, you know, mainly investors, I guess you'd probably be more highly impacted because of what's happening with APRA.
Yeah, we like to sell a lot of our development local, meant to get pre-sales that are recognisable by the banks. You've got to go local. And so a lot of the investor sales that come through, I mean, we don't push our apartments on clients. I like nice house and land packages for clients. But if you're looking at as far as overseas investment, we like to get most of our sales through local, and that way you get a good community within whatever development you're putting up, where it protects our brand long term.
Yeah, I'm talking to Cam McLennan from Open Corporation. Cam, one of the things I'm keen to know about you from you is that we're hearing a lot about oversupply, particularly of units in some of the capital city markets. Are you seeing that, or is that a concern for you?
Yeah, there's always going to be oversupply and undersupply depending on different, and when I talk about corridors or regions, if you think about Melbourne in the last 5 years has gone from an undersupply to an oversupply to an undersupply. So oversupplies and undersupplies, really what I match in when I'm doing a development is, and when we're buying into an area, is to look at the long-term population growth forecast in a certain area and look at the potential planning approvals that come through and make sure we've got a good balance so that we get good long-term growth in whatever area we're going into. There is definitely always going to be areas. So when there's an undersupply, developers like myself come in and we build. And we build enough to cater for the demand. Once the demand's gone, there is always a slight oversupply. Now,
yes,
it's not as dramatic as it seems, Kev. The news and the press, they love to talk it up. It's the only thing that sells newspapers is a bursting bubble or prices are going through the roof. No one ever says, market's just ticking along nicely. It doesn't work that way, mate. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I do know how it goes. It's but sells papers.
It sells papers. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Is it a bit like build it and they will come? I know that that's an oversimplification, but does it happen?
Oh, look, it does to a degree, but you can't just build a building and they will come. You've got to look at what infrastructure is going in there. Yeah. The only thing that's going to bring people in is infrastructure. Road and rail. When you bring road and rail through an area or a corridor, that allows people to live within those areas but to travel to work. And that's what brings population growth.
Those tunnels that were built several years ago, taking people out to the north side and so on, how much of that was a catalyst for you pushing ahead with your Chermside development?
Look, it probably wasn't the catalyst. We just bought really well, to be brutally honest. We came up against, and this is probably a bigger discussion, maybe we came up against a couple of doctors who bit off more than they could chew. They bought a site, got a lot of pre-sales, and then just couldn't get finance. So it was an opportunistic purchase to a large degree.
So that was actually planned by someone else, that development. Did you make many changes to it?
No, we did make a couple of changes, mate. Yeah, we did. The one across the road, we stuck pools on the roof and things like that as well. So, no, it's good.
Oh, so how many developments have you got in that particular area in Chermside happening? I know of one that's coming out of the ground.
We've got one development of 80 apartments, and across the road we've got, I think, 250 apartments on two towers.
On the corner in that little, that's in the same block as McDonald's? Is that the one?
Yeah, just up a bit, right?
Yeah, very good. Well, mate, great talking to you. We're out of time, unfortunately, but always great. And yeah, good on you, Cam, and what you're doing in all around Australia, actually. Great
Thanks,
stuff.
Mate.
Good on you.
Thank
you. Cam McLennan there from Open Corporation. And yeah, we talked specifically there about the north side, which is one of the areas that he favours. It's 17 past seven. Good question coming up in just a moment. We'll get an answer on that for you about a tenant who's playing up something chronic. We'll get an answer for that in just a moment.
Alan Jones. Controversy over the 99-year lease of the Port of Darwin to Chinese energy and infrastructure group Landbridge is reaching very significant levels.
Jones.
Landbridge is a commercial front intimately tied to Chinese state-owned operations, the Party and the People's Liberation Army. Wake up. The long-term lease of the Port of Darwin must be cancelled.
Alan Jones. Weekdays for breakfast from 4:30 on 4BC.
Are you the proud owner of a new house or unit? Do you know you're getting what you paid for? Talk to Hanovers.com. They were the first national company to inspect new houses and units. Their highly trained inspectors know what and where to look for possible defects. Get peace of mind knowing your home or investment is sound. Book your expert inspection today at Hanovers.com or call 1300 131 041. 1300 131 041. Don't accept poor workmanship. Be confident at Handover with Hanovers.com. QBCC license 69903.
4BC, and we are talking real estate. It's 18 and a half minutes past seven, and it's that time of year again to start planning a holiday. New York, Paris, Uluru. Well, whatever you decide, there are two things that you should not forget. That is your passport and your travel insurance. 50upclub.com now has an exclusive 10% discount on travel insurance for baby boomers and the young at heart. There is no age limit and no doctor's visits are required if you have an existing medical condition. It's easy to just get a quote, and it's underwritten by the world's leading emergency assistance provider. It's free to join 50 Up Club, and 135,000 members cannot be wrong. So get on board today at 50upclub.com. That's 50upclub.com. Join now. That web address again, 50upclub.com.
Yes, come on.
Tom,
what?
Okay, Mel's come back for a drink and I need some music to set the mood.
Nice. All right, man, I got you.
No, what? No, not that sort of music.
Oh, so it's...
Yeah, no, okay, no. How about you just give me the digital radio because I know a love song station that is perfect.
No, I'm listening to the footy.
Tom, this is a house emergency. Plus, I thought you didn't even like our digital
radio. Hey, is the footy on?
Hey, Mel.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, it's on my brand new digital radio.
Cool, what's the score?
Well, it's 20-all. There's nothing in it.
Oh, Steve, grab us a couple of drinks, would you, mate?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the first half, it was end-to-end. The Reds scored right on the whistle to even things up.
No way. Digital radio, the box you can't beat.
You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $575,000.
And if you're listening just a few moments ago, I was talking to Cam McLennan. Question for you, 13 13 32, if you want to jump on the phone and tell me the suburb we were talking about where they're doing a little bit of developments on the north side. Do you remember that one, Pete? Did you? You hope Pete picked it up? Okay, he knows the answer. Give us a call, 13 13 32. We've got two books to give away from Michael Yardney, The Rules of Property. So 13 13 32 right now. The first two callers through who get it right, and they can tell us what the suburb was that I was talking to Cam about on the north side of Brisbane. We've got those couple of books for you. It's 21 past seven, and I received an email from... Oh, actually, just before I go to that, Grant's got a comment to make. G'day, Grant. How are you doing?
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Mate, very good. And what about you?
Yeah, well, thank you. I tune in every week. So I just listened with interest to Cameron's discussion about the ups and downs and the oversupply and the undersupply of inner city urban living. So I bought a unit beside the Breakfast Creek Hotel, directly beside the Brecky Creek Hotel, 3 years ago in November for about... just shy of $600,000.
Yes.
I mean, $590-something. On the promise that there was a few blocks next door that weren't going to go. So this isn't a debate about that happening. Those homes last week were demolished, and there's now three blocks of units going up across the road by the same developer. So that's all fine. I just listened with interest because I believe, and a lot of the people in this block believe, that while our property value has dropped now, in the 5 years, 6 years' time for the proposed development for Kingston Drive, what may happen to Albion Park behind us, our property values will go up. Yep. I bought a unit at Vine Street through Dwight Ferguson, Ray White Ascot, who helped me into this. Just as another example, I paid about $110 for it.
Yeah.
I think at about $2,000, and I sold it for about $280, which helped me into that market. So I just wanted to echo Cameron's sentiment that it does go up and down. You know, and I worked in newspapers for a long time. I know how to sell a headline, but, yeah, just an interesting conversation.
Yeah, good on you, Grant. Well, that's great, mate, and good to hear that.
Look out the front now. I can see right on the Brisbane River about 40 guys and about four concrete pumps just filling it up.
So I know,
it's all going ahead.
It's quite amazing. Mate, do you remember the days when Joe Bjelke-Petersen used to measure how well the city was going by the number of cranes?
I do indeed.
I mean, I reckon it's a fairly accurate estimate, actually, to be quite honest.
When you set out the Northern Corridor there, it's exciting, and of course, that's a great investment there. You know, you're off sort of shopping centres, public transport, schools, all there. Great show, Kevin.
Good on you, Grant. Love to have you. Yeah, good on you, mate. Thanks a lot. Right. 23 minutes past 7 at 4BC. I received an email. It only came in this morning. I want to address because I thought it was quite good. So thanks to Keith for sending it in. Have just terminated our tenant's lease due to being very difficult. They were difficult and non-compliant with inspections, amongst other things. They did it through the real estate agent. This is the tenant, has harassed the real estate agent's Facebook page and sent abusive emails, amongst other things, and threatened legal action. Now she has gotten hold of my wife's phone mobile numbers, requesting information, wanting to meet personally. My question is, where do we stand legally on this? Yeah, it's a form of harassment. Shannon Davis from Image Property joins me. And Shannon also, of course, heads up Metropole Properties in Brisbane. But a very successful part of Shannon's business is Image Property. G'day, Shannon.
G'day, Kevin.
Where does Keith stand in the situation, Shannon?
Yeah, I think definitely Keith's right to terminate the tenancy. Doesn't have to give any reasons for that. If the tenant did have any grounds for opposition to that, or thought it was a vindictive eviction or something like that, the grounds for her or he would be a QCAT, not Facebook pages or wife's mobile phone.
Yeah, I guess the question for Keith is what can he do about this? Would you go as far as taking out a restraining order, or do you think that's a bit heavy?
Probably a little bit heavy. I think as it passes, it'll die down a little bit. I'll
just ignore it.
Please put all matters through the agent. Because that's why people employ property managers, is to have things at arm's length.
Yeah, so, you would assume too, and probably very correctly, that if it was terminated through the agency, it would have been all the rules would have been followed, and all the I's dotted and T's crossed. So it would be, I would imagine, the tenant would have very little grounds to sue.
Yeah, that's right, and then also making life very difficult for he or she to find future accommodation because agents talk to each other.
Good on you, mate. Nice talking to you, Shannon. Thanks for taking the call so quickly, mate. I appreciate it.
Yeah. No worries. Thanks, mate.
25 past 7. And Keith, the other thing I'd say too is don't engage with this person. I've always found that if you ignore what they say to you, and don't, there's absolutely no engagement. So don't even respond. You may respond once and say, look, any matters you've got need to be put back through the agency or through, as Shannon said, QCAT, and then just ignore any further contact. Because if you do shut them down in that way, while it may go on for a little while, it will eventually die down. So Keith, thanks for your question. And I think it's a shame that you've got to go through this. I mentioned at the start of the show that 1 in 5 property transactions are currently delayed due to error. In some cases, these errors can cause delays of up to a year, causing unnecessary stress to consumers trying to buy and sell a property. Property transactions are one of the last major financial transactions to become digital. Most rely on a couple of people meeting face-to-face, exchanging checks, and it's actually quite a funny thing to see. However, it is expected that 85% of settlements will move online by 2019, with the introduction of e-conveyancing software, Property Exchange Australia, bringing vast improvements to the consumer. Brisbane-based Global X Legal Solutions is a major PEXA sponsor and is at the heart of this change. The company's chief executive, Peter Maloney, joins us. G'day, Peter.
Good morning, Kevin. Great to talk to you this morning.
Thank you. And this is a great move forward for consumers, isn't it? Tell me about the costs of this. Are the costs of conveyancing likely to go up because of this, or will they come down?
No, Kevin. I think ultimately, for the buyer and the seller, Kevin, there really should be no change in the cost of engaging a solicitor to act on your behalf. Mm. In fact, if anything, there might be a slight reduction. Buyers and sellers are already paying their solicitors to attend paper-based settlements and to lodge their documents at Land Registry and to facilitate the collection and payment of stamp duties. And with PEXA, all of those items are bundled into a single fee of $106.
So all the paperwork's going to go out the window. Will there be still any paperwork involved?
There will be, absolutely. So the introduction of electronic conveyancing doesn't really negate anything to do with the buyers and sellers exchanging contracts. All the conditions in the REIQ standard contract still come into play. But really what does change is the financial settlement becomes electronic, the lodgement of documents at Land Registry becomes electronic, and the payment or the collection and payment of stamp duty also becomes electronic as well.
Yeah, because the titles office has been digital for some time now. So we did away with the old paper titles some time ago.
It has, and the conversion to electronic conveyancing is still well and truly underway. Obviously, a lot of consumers still hold the paper title, and when they go to transact their property the next time, that paper title will need to be surrendered, and it will be converted to an electronic title.
Yeah, which is almost like a receipt when you go to a shopping centre, pretty much.
It is. It is indeed.
It's a bit disappointing. You know, we used to be able to bring out this beautiful title and say, wow, you know, I now own this property and here's my title to it. But now it's just like a receipt. What about confidential information if this is all going online? That's always a bit of a concern.
It is. It absolutely is. But I don't think buyers and sellers really should be concerned. There's strict rules and processes in place for engagement in electronic conveyancing. And ultimately, the solicitor that's representing you must go through a series of steps. And some of them are quite, not so much onerous, but they're quite rigorous to confirm the identity of the consumer, to establish the right to deal in the property. And the content that is stored in the exchange is as equal to the security systems that's available in the banking system today.
Your company, Global X Legal Solutions, you specialise in conveyancing?
We do, absolutely. Yeah, so we're Australia's largest property settlement agent in the traditional paper-based world.
It's interesting, once again, seeing this division. I mean, that was once the exclusive mandate of solicitors. You would go to a solicitor, but now we're seeing specialist conveyancing. What do you bring to the table in that sense, you know, as to why we wouldn't go to a normal solicitor?
Well, you'll always continue to go to a solicitor. In fact, our customers are the solicitors. So solicitors engage Global X to attend property settlements on their behalf, to do all the probity checks, make sure that settlement funds are appropriated properly, and then we operate what is called a settlement room. So the buyers and the sellers' representatives will come into our rooms, and that's where the exchange of contract and the exchange of funds occurs.
Which is pretty mundane, isn't it?
It is. It's a if you ever get down there on a Friday afternoon, it's terrific to watch.
Well, it's not really. It's so boring. It's just a,
Right.
They just sort of pass a bit of paper away, and you know, it can be anything up to $1 million in a check, and you think, wow. And this, I always thought, you know, because I went to a couple when we did some transactions, I thought, oh, you know, we'll open up the bubbly, but no one's interested.
No, not at all. It is a very mundane activity.
On with the next one.
Balances and ticking boxes to make sure that the consumer buying or selling has either got their funds or picks up the keys to the house on time.
That's it. Hey, Peter, great talking to you, mate. Thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks very much, Kevin.
Peter Maloney is the Chief Executive for Global X Legal Solutions. And it's all changing. Everything's changing. Yeah. But try it sometime. See if you can get along to one of your settlements if you're settling a property. 25 minutes to 8 and a spacious, luxurious oceanfront apartment. Well, it's a dream. Doesn't have to be anymore because now we can tell you about Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. They are the perfect choice. Being absolute waterfront, the Moreton Bay views are simply extraordinary. Three bedrooms, two bathrooms, and with luxury finishes, double secure car space, separate lock-up storage, and many, in fact, have their own media room. Water's Edge is pretty hard to beat, represents great value. They start at just $575,000. Open for inspection daily from 10 to 3. They're at 36 Woodcliffe Crescent at Woody Point. Great spot, Woody Point, too. Call them right now, 32834377. 32834377. The inspection is open from 10 o'clock today, and you'll find them at 36 Woodcliffe Crescent at Woody Point. Check it out today.
Australia, how brilliantly versatile is Coles Fresh Beef Mince?
1 kilo of Coles Fresh 100% Aussie 3-star beef mince with no added hormones is just $8.
Australia, it's time you Coles Freshed your beef mince.
You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $575,000.
Stand by, we've got more of those books to give away a little bit later in the next 20 minutes or so. And as we do each and every Saturday morning, let's have a chat to Dr. Andrew Wilson, Senior Economist with the Domain Group. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Kevin.
The doctor is in the house.
In the house, yeah. We like the word house, don't we?
Yeah, I know why they call you the doctor too.
Really?
Because you're an operator.
Oh, okay.
Do you like that?
Good one. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Yeah. First home buyers, we're having a bit of a surge, are we?
Yeah, look, all down the eastern seaboard. But Brisbane first home buyers numbers up again this month, with the number of first home buyers in Queensland has risen by 2%. Over the first 9 months of this year compared to the same period last year. And I think that's working its way into a building boom in Brisbane, Kevin. We've seen a lot more homes and units being approved for building. In fact, record numbers.
Yeah, I noticed in your snapshot you're actually calling it a building boom. Is that official?
Well, I think we could certainly officially call it a unit building boom. Still very large numbers of units being approved. But houses are also not far behind in terms of levels, and the number of units built, or the number of dwellings, that's houses and units combined, approved for building over September, was the highest ever recorded in Brisbane. So, and that's really good news because it works its way into the economy, more jobs, rising confidence, and look, there's no doubt that that Brisbane economy's now got a spring in its step.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Cam McLennan from Open Corporation earlier in the show. He was very bullish about the Brisbane market, particularly the north side of Brisbane, where they put up a development of 300-odd units, and they were all sold before they even came out of the ground. That's a really good sign for what's happening in Brisbane.
Well, look, the north, the down to the south and out to the west, lots of new building happening there. Kevin, North Lakes, Mango Hill, lots of development, Murrumba Downs, Jimboomba outfits down at the south near Logan, lots and lots of new homes being built. And a significant part of that demand, are first home buyers taking advantage of house and land packages and, of course, the grant from the Queensland Government for first home buyers purchasing units.
Yeah, I don't know if you've mentioned it, but I was just reading through your report here too, and I should be paying attention to what you're saying. But in the report, you say that the ABS reported 1,033 houses were approved for building in Brisbane over September. Was that houses or was that house and units?
Well, that's houses. Units were nearly double that, or more than double that, 2,212 in 1 month. And that's the second highest monthly total of unit approvals ever recorded. And the record was just 3 months ago in June, was 2,230. So really steaming ahead that new unit market. And as I said, a very positive thing for the local economy, Kevin.
No signs of oversupply?
Look, oversupply, but the very nature of the level, the scale of this development means that you do push ahead of demand. But these things do even up. And as we've discussed on the show, Brisbane is now developing a very strong inner-city culture, similar to what was seen in those higher-density capitals of Melbourne and Sydney. And I think it is a way of the future. I think there are a lot of positives. By comparison, actually, with even the Melbourne inner city market, I think Brisbane has more of that neighbourhood feel to its high-rise development profile, and I think that'll get demand catch catching up with supply sooner rather than later. But good news for jobs, Kevin.
Yeah, talking about those house approvals in the September quarter, what were the main areas where approvals came through?
Well, as I said before, Kevin, to the north, North Lakes, of course, is that burgeoning new community north of the city. Jimboomba down towards Logan, that was the highest recorded approvals for houses over the quarter, over 200 new homes approved there. Springfield Lakes out to the west. So it is northwest and south on the fringes of Brisbane where all that development is occurring, and that's where first home buyers are beginning their journey.
Yeah, and those unit approvals too, just looking at the figures, a huge number in Newstead, around Bowen Hills. So
yeah, Newstead, Bowen Hills. That's quite a remarkable number, 1,160 new approvals over the quarter. But look, interesting, Chermside, number two there over the quarter with 267 approvals. So look, as a very positive news, and I think as you know, Brisbane is developing that higher density lifestyle. You know, these things work their way right through the system, and as I said, it's why we're seeing a significant fall in the unemployment rate in Brisbane, and the latest data from the ABS, which showed nearly 70,000 jobs created in Queensland over the past year. So, with the shakeouts in the coal industry, which is affecting you know, the northern regions and the central regions of Queensland, it's good to see that residential construction, is taking up a bit of that slack.
Yeah, and this weekend and next weekend too, big auction weekends as well. I think 158 you're reporting for this weekend in Brisbane.
Well, extraordinary day for auctions today, Kevin, in Brisbane. This is a record day. 158 auctions will be conducted today, followed up by another 150 next weekend. And these are unprecedented numbers. I think, as we've discussed on the show before, the December quarter is it tends to be a very positive quarter for the Brisbane market. I think that you know, we're likely to see our best prices growth of the year on current trends over the December quarter. So the market, after a bit of a flat spot in the mid-year, looks to be picking up. And those numbers, I think, are a good sign that sellers are quite confident about finding a buyer over the next month or so.
I promised that we'd have a quick look at the Redlands too, and you'd tell us your favourite suburb. We've probably got time just to pick up on your suburb. Which one have you chosen, Andrew?
Well, I've always been a bit of a fan of Thornlands. Okay. I'm not sure if you're aware of Thornlands.
Oh, of course I am. Yeah, I know Thornlands, yeah.
It's been a bit of a sleeper, and I think that's really starting to get on the radar of buyers. And, of course, there's a lot of new development, speaking of new development, happening down there in Thornlands. Some large developments have been proposed over the last year or so, and I think that's another one of those areas, those suburban areas, where high-density development will start to attract buyers sooner rather than later. But house prices in Thornlands, the median house price, up by just under 6%. Over the last year, and up into the mid 500s, 547,900. So attracting plenty of attention down there in Thornlands, and I think Redland is, you know, a very interesting and a promising area for prices growth and buyer demand into the future.
So Thornlands, the median slightly above the Brisbane average median, which is, I think, around 500. So you're saying mid fives, and the median's up by about 6%, reflects people buying up, doesn't it? They're buying more expensive properties.
Well, it does, and I also think there's an attraction to the lifestyle down there on the bay.
Yeah.
And I just think it's been a bit of a sleeper, really, Thornlands, and I know that it's been on the radar of those people who've been looking for some value buying, and maybe an underperformer, and it's up and running now. And as I said, and I think the reflection of that is that developers are very interested in the area as well. And again, good news for the local economy.
Good on you, mate. Great talking to you, Dr. Andrew Wilson, Senior Economist at the Domain Group. We'll catch up with you again next Saturday, and we'll get those conversion rates from this weekend as well.
No problems at all. Thank you, Kevin.
Good on you. Dr. Andrew Wilson joins us every Saturday morning, Senior Economist at the Domain Group. And I opened the show today talking about the pros and cons of cap city versus regional areas. I'm going to have a look at the regional markets. Now, Ian Hosking-Richards joins me, who's a great investor in, even though he's based in Sydney, he's a great investor into the Brisbane market, likes the Brisbane market, but also likes regional areas. And he is from Rocket Property. He joins me. Ian, thanks for your time. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Well, thanks, mate. Now, there has been a lot of criticism of investment in regional markets. How much of that's because of what we've seen happen in the mining towns?
Look, Kevin, I think it's definitely played a factor. However, I'm not a big fan of sweeping generalisations, and if you completely ignore the regional markets, you may be missing out on some great opportunities.
So how can they be sure, how can investors be sure that the market they're going to go into is not going to collapse? What are the signs?
Oh, good question, Kevin. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easy in hindsight.
Look, property markets seem to have become a little less predictable in recent times. It makes sense to stick with a larger population bases that have exposure to multiple economic drivers. In this way, investors should be able to avoid a lot of the volatility that certain property markets occasionally experience. You know, some of the more spectacular crashes in recent times have occurred in areas that were never suited to your typical low-risk investor. You know, places such as Moranbah, Karratha, Port Hedland. You know, my advice would be to leave these areas to the more sophisticated investor who has a good understanding of those types of markets and they've got a steady nerve.
What sort of returns do you expect from the areas that you invest in, Ian?
My policy has been to always buy new, and like many investors, I'm sensitive to holding costs. So I look for properties that pay for themselves after any negative gearing benefit. In order to do that, you normally need to be looking at about $1 per thousand, ideally. However, for me, gross yield is not always a good indicator of actual net weekly cash flow. So I always encourage investors to focus on the bottom line rather than make assumptions based on a quoted gross yield figure.
What are the regional areas in that you're focusing on right now? Can you name a couple for us and tell us why?
Yes, Kevin. I'm focusing on growing my portfolio in southeast Queensland. It's an area I know reasonably well, as I've been investing there for many years now. Apart from Brisbane itself, I'm looking in the affordable growth corridors to the north and west of the city. I think that Ipswich presents a strong case at the moment,
yeah.
And a lot of jobs and infrastructure seems to be going on around the North Lakes area too. Townsville has historically been a strong performer with a large regional population and a diverse economy. In recent times, unemployment and possibly overbuilding of NRAS properties
yes.
have kept the market a bit subdued.
That's in Townsville, you say?
In Townsville, yeah. Look, I already have a large exposure to Townsville, so personally I wouldn't be adding to my portfolio there in the near future.
No.
But I think investors with less exposure there should definitely consider it before it kind of goes into its next.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I spoke to a couple of agents in Townsville because I'm interested in that market right now too, and they're experiencing great difficulty because having to tell people who purchased there, probably like you, a couple of years ago, that their houses are now worth less than what they paid for them. But that's a good opportunity to get in onto a market because it will turn around, Ian.
Look, absolutely. As I said before, historically it has been a nice steady performer, and the kind of the last few years of subdued activity is a little bit unusual for Townsville.
Yes.
I feel it's on the same kind of trajectory as Brisbane. So again, Brisbane's been kind of, you know, underperforming for the last few years. And I think, you know, as Brisbane, you know, goes into its growth phase, I think Townsville will kind of be closely aligned.
Ian, great talking to you, mate. Thank you very much for your time. Ian Hosking-Richards from Rocket Property. We'll let you get back to your day. Thanks, mate.
Pleasure as always, Kevin.
Good
Thank
on
you.
You
very much.
Yeah, 12 minutes to 8 at 4BC. Coming up soon, next, in fact, I'll be talking to Michael Yardney about why the rich are getting richer. And we've got some of those books to give away as well, so stand by. We'll give you the cue to call in just a moment, and you can pick up a copy of Michael's book, The Rules of Property. It's 11:30 to 8, 4BC, as we talk real estate.
Take a bow, young man. 100 not out, Joe Burns.
Defeated by the Aussies in the first test.
And Australia win.
New Zealand's are back, ready to reclaim bragging rights. The Commonwealth Bank Test Series against the Kiwis is on Macquarie Radio's Summer of Cricket.
And he's out. He's got him, LBW.
Join Tim Lane, Bruce Eva, Ian Chappell and the team live from the Wacker for Harvey Norman.
Brilliant innings.
The Summer of Cricket on 4BC.
Flies, mozzies, cockroaches. There's nothing worse than being hassled by annoying insects. Peter Dick here, and I'm with my good mate Andrew from Pestrol. He's here to tell us how to avoid plagues of insects this summer.
That's right, Pete. Pestrol Ultra is our automatic insect control system. Our formula includes natural pyrethrums from Tasmania, as opposed to most alternative brands that use chemical-based substitutes. As we all know, you just can't compete with the power of nature.
The insects try to escape. If they can't, they die. One Pestrol Ultra unit covers an average size home. And you can even leave your doors and windows open. Just set and forget.
And best of all, it's completely safe for family and pets. It even comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Order the Pestrel Ultra Indoor Unit for only $75 and receive an outdoor unit absolutely free.
Don't wait. Order your Pestrel Ultra today. Free call 1-800-33-8888. 1-800-33-8888. Or visit pestrel.com.au to check out their full range of DIY pest control products.
Volkswagen welcomes the intelligent all-new Volkswagen Passat, the thinking car. The most advanced Passat yet has just arrived in Australia and ready for you to test drive today at your local Brisbane Volkswagen dealer. Luxurious and spacious, with the evolution of a motoring standard that's second to none. With profound innovations, a sharper new suit and sophisticated technology, the elusive work-life balance is at your fingertips. Visit VolkswagenDealsBrisbane.com.au or contact your local Volkswagen dealer today.
Waking up to the sparkling ocean, hearing the waves crashing on the shore. Now is the time to make the move to Water's Edge Apartments. Absolute waterfront on the Redcliffe Peninsula, the Moreton Bay views are simply extraordinary. With three bedrooms, two bathrooms, luxurious finishes, double secure car spaces and more. Starting at just $575,000 and open for inspection daily from 10 to 3. Water's Edge Apartments at Woodcliffe Crescent, Woody Point. Call 3283 4377 for details.
You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $575,000.
9 minutes to eight as we talk real estate. Stay with us. And straight after the news, of course, at 8 o'clock, Ray Hadley will be along for the Saturday morning edition of the Ray Hadley Show. Catch up with Michael Yardney in just a moment. In the meantime, Steve's got you got a bit of a whinge, Steve, have you? You're not happy about something?
G'day, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, good, mate. Fine, thanks. What's happening?
It's good. I just heard the gentleman talking about the massive estates going in down at Thornlands on the Bayside.
Yes.
And that
wasn't a gentleman, by the way. That was Andrew Wilson.
Mr. Wilson. Then we
were, no, you're right. I just heard
Mr. Wilson talking about the massive estates down at Thornlands there. And I tell you what, Kevin, I'm in the building industry, and they are, he's dead right, they're going to be massive estates. But the drama we've got in the Redlands is there's only sort of a couple of ways in and a couple of ways out of the place. And it's gridlock now, Kevin. I mean, people, if they wanted to go and Google that sort of area and go down there over a weekend and have a look at these new estates, they'd want to keep in mind that, gee whiz, they'd really want to work south.
Yeah.
They hadn't want to work in the city as such because there's going to probably be 2,000 houses going a couple of those estates, Kevin. And as we know, most people these days have a couple of cars, don't they? They don't just have the one vehicle.
They do, mate. Indeed, that's right.
Yeah. So there's another 4,000 vehicles. Well, it's gridlock now.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of what happened in the Gap when that became really gridlocked out there as well. Hey, Steve.
So it's sort of fuel for thought, Kevin. You know, if people sit
at
home and think, well, I've just heard that gentleman talk about, or Mr. Wilson, sorry, talk about that place. We might go for a drive down there on the weekend, have a look at something.
Good on you.
It's something to keep in mind, mate.
Good on you, Steve. Hey, listen, while I've got you there too, mate, we're going to give you a copy of Michael Yardney's book, The Rules of Property. So it's a great read. If you hang on, mate, I'll give you back to Pete and he can get your details and we'll get that out to you, okay?
Good on you, Kevin. That's lovely. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Nice talking to you. Thanks, Steve.
Cheers.
Yeah, it's 6:30 to 8 and I'm now joined by the author of that great book, Michael Yardney, who joins me from Metropolitan Property Strategies. G'day, Michael.
Good morning, Kevin.
The topic for you today, and by the way, too, thanks for the copies of your book. We've got probably another two or three to give away.
My pleasure.
So stand by and we'll tell you how. I wanted to talk to you today about a topic that's certainly in that book, and I know that you've covered it in your new book that we'll talk about shortly, and that is why the rich keep getting richer. That gap between the rich and the poor, and I hate that word, but it's the only way to describe it, keeps widening, Michael. Why is that?
Well, Kevin, let's call them the average Australian, because to be honest, the poorest people in Australia are still richer than the richest in many other countries. But most of us aspire to more. We want more. We want more financially. We want more freedom. We want to go to work because we want to, not because we have to. And interestingly, the gap is widening in Australia. And I actually have studied it for the last 10 years and actually, as you said, put it in my next book, the one that's just come out, My Guide to Getting Rich. And Kevin, it has to do a lot with the way a certain Australians think, the habits that they have formed and the way they act, Kevin, has nothing to do with their education, has nothing to do with their background. And, Kevin, it has nothing to do with their parents. 80% of Australia's wealthy people actually started off on the poor side.
Well, maybe it does have something to do with it then. If it's 80% of them started on the poor side, maybe they've got that, there's something inside them, Michael, that makes them not want to go down the same path.
Well, yes, except most people in that situation haven't done that. So still, the gap keeps widening. And in Australia, a large part of that, Kevin, is because we own real estate. So just owning your own home in one of our big capital cities has made people wealthier. And it also has a bit to do with the sort of jobs people have. But then again, I think in today's society in Australia, anyone who's reasonably intelligent can get rich if they actually get some good mentors around them, change some of their habits, and learn a bit about money, the sort of thing we weren't taught by most of our parents or by the education system, Kevin.
Well, Michael, and unfortunately, I've only got about a minute to go, but tell me, what are the traits you've found in these people, these 2,000-odd people you've studied?
Well, sometimes they have just forgotten about this instant gratification. We're more wired for that nowadays. We love it, but they've actually learned to put off the short term for the long term. The wealthy understand the difference between wants and needs. Sure, we all need a bigger house, don't we? But maybe we actually don't really. So they've learned to put things off for the future. They've learned to invest automatically. Kevin, they understand the cost of debt. They don't get themselves into debt unnecessarily. Kevin, they set a goal and then they work towards it and they don't give up. Interestingly, the wealthy do work harder. We all work hard, but the wealthy are prepared to work hard in the short term, so later on they don't have to work as hard. And in the short term, they then live within their means, they make sacrifices, and they actually take advantage of the opportunities the world gives them. They see the big picture. The glass is always full for them rather than half empty.
Yeah, great stuff, mate. We're out of time, unfortunately, but always good talking to you, Michael Yardney from Metropole Property Strategist. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Kevin.
And thanks for the books. And if you'd like a copy of Michael's book, which is called The Rules of Property, get on the phone now, 13 13 32. We'll give away another four? Three. Okay, Pete says three. Three it is. The first three callers through to tell us the name of that book, The Rules of Property. They're making it nice and easy. There you go. We'll get a copy of that with the compliments of the show and also Michael Yardney. Stay with us. 3 minutes to eight.
Rush in for the New Age Caravan's 2015 run-out sale. There's fantastic savings on pop-tops, family vans, luxury vans and off-road vans. These prices only come once a year and all stock must go and are ready for immediate delivery. There's some real bargains with great discounts to be had in the New Age Caravan's 2015 model run-out sale. See newagecaravans.com.au for your nearest dealer. But hurry, it must end November 15th. You don't want to miss out on these massive savings, so run in before they run out.
Graham Ross here. Rain is great for the garden, but not when your gutters are full of leaves. Overflowing gutters can cause major damage. Do what I did and install Leaf Stopper Gutter Guard. It's an aluminium mesh that fits over tile or metal roofs to create a superior ski slope system, allowing leaves to simply blow away. Leaf Stopper is an Australian award-winning design with a 15-year warranty. For peace of mind, call Leaf Stopper on 1300 334 333 or visit leafstopper.com.au. I know Leaf Stopper works. I have it on my home.
2 minutes to eight. Thanks to all those people calling in. We'll tell you the names of the winners in just a moment. And, of course, we do real estate. We talk real estate on Saturday mornings for Waterfront Properties. You can make the move to Water's Edge Apartments. They are on the Redcliffe Peninsula. Check them out this weekend. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $575,000. Hey, here's a great idea for you. Don't put up with a property manager who causes frustration anymore. Switch to Colin and Cinder at PRD Nationwide Toowong. With over 20 years' experience, they're going to handle everything related to your investment property with ease. Their mission is not to make you a property manager, but to ensure that you are a successful property investor. Make the switch today and you'll go in the draw to win a Lexus CT200H limited to 100 entries. PRD Nationwide Toowong, call Colin and Cinder on 3721 8585. 3721 8585 or see them at toowong.prd.com.au.
When it comes to elegant design, the Italians and Spanish do it best. You can now experience luxury tiles thanks to Uptiles Strathpine. Uptiles' exclusive range of Italian and Spanish tiles and bathware are on display 7 days a week in Queensland's most award-winning tile showroom. And now we have 20% to 50% off the entire showroom. Uptiles. Buy well, buy once. Sale must end Sunday, 3 p.m. So see Uptiles Strathpine 7 days or shop online at uptiles.net.
You're listening to Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Make the move to Water's Edge Apartments on the Redcliffe Peninsula. It's absolute waterfront luxury from just $575,000.
And that's where we have to leave you. Thanks for your company. Congratulations to Lynn, John, Steve. We're taking away those books. We'll be back again. We'll have a few more books to give away tomorrow morning. See you then between 7 and 8 as we talk real estate right here at 4BC.